To live is Christ.
I'm thinking of that scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:8. It's better the end of the thing than the beginning. And brethren, I think that's true on a spiritual phase of the divine purpose. We've heard some wonderful thoughts presented here today and this afternoon. When we stop to think of what the Apostle Paul said, when he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Now, what did he mean by that? What was uppermost in his mind? And I think we can follow that with what was presented here when he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And if we could recognize that as a Christian people, that our gathering together is not to see how many numbers we get, or if we can increase and make a large organization. And that has been the motives of some in the past, and you know the results. But the great motive of a true Christian, and to follow the advice of the Apostle Paul, our motive, our message should be Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is the mystery of which Paul mentions in Colossians. Mystery hid from ages and generations, but now made manifest to the saints. And Paul, when he was converted on the road to Damascus, he was a rabbi. Oh, the Jewish law and all of that arrangement under Moses. We're Abraham's seed and so forth. Well, on the road to Damascus, it was a complete turnaround because the Lord revealed to him the great Messiah, our great Savior of the world. And when he penetrated that truth, and when you read his letters, they're marvelous. One of the marvelous letters is the Hebrews. How he could understand and discern that the great message is the call of the church, filling up the afflictions which are behind, meaning after Christ, down through the gospel age, that it was the great secret hid from ages and generations. And even today, hid from the Christian world. And so our preaching is not how many new members we have or how many organizations we may create in Christian responsibility. No. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Paul had quite a struggle when you stop to think about it. In the early church, as mentioned by the previous brethren here, that the greatest problem is to overcome the old man and put on the new man, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Paul preached so faithfully. Oh, I marvel when you read about his life, how he suffered and how he endured. And he was willing to take every experience. As he mentions, "I'm ready to die for Christ." That's how he had that inward conviction that Jesus was the great Messiah, and the privilege of the called in Christ is to suffer with him. It is easy to, in one sense of the word, to believe in God. And Paul says even the devil believe in God. But it's another thing to believe in Christ and to follow in his footsteps. And so our message is an opportunity to be a sacrificial goat. Our part, we're the goat. Our Lord Jesus was the lamb. I'm following the type in the tabernacle arrangement. We as fallen human beings, imperfect, we want to do our own will. The old man is with us, and it's a constant struggle. And so when you stop to think about it in Revelation, third chapter in the 21st verse, he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome, and sitting with the Father on the Father's throne. So the great problem is to overcome. And the Apostle Paul was ready to die for Christ. He recognized that he was a chosen vessel. He did not puff himself up because of that. He kept very humble and kept a very definite spirit of a sound mind, a disciplined mind, so that he could be faithful unto the end. And he was ready to die for Christ. And so, brethren, as we had the young brother who had baptized himself, the actual meaning of it all is we're ready to die with Christ. Ready to lay down our life to be a sacrifice. And this is, as I said before, the great mystery of the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul, how faithful he was. He did mention much in the Old Testament writings about the law and the types and shadows, the pictures that are illustrated. As he says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the law was a shadow of good things to come. And the good things to come is due to the fact of the sacrificial experience, Jesus the head and the body of Christ. And as we mentioned before, the Romans, the 8th chapter, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Oh, what a painful society we are, huh? The psalmist wrote, Psalm 102, verses 19-20, for he, our heavenly Father, for he hath looked down upon from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, and to release those appointed unto death. So our Heavenly Father has opened up the plan and purpose of God, particularly to the Apostle Paul. And when you recall, even Peter marveled at Paul's understanding of the divine purpose. Paul had the greatest insight as far as a human being is concerned. I mean of the fallen Adamic man. Our Lord Jesus had a great insight, of course. And you remember how faithful he was, that God had sent him to be the great Lamb of God to die for the sins of the world. Now, brethren, just to stop and think about it, how great was our Lord Jesus. Next to the Father, his pre-existence, he had an existence with the Father. Everything that was created by him, and as the Apostle Paul, in his deep insight, for him. Huh? Think of it. Huh? How humbled. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, so much so that the Jewish people could not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But he was faithful. ready to die for him. And so when we think of our Lord Jesus, for instance, you remember as the 3.5 years of coming to an end, and then John, that wonderful chapter, the 17th chapter of John, when he assembled those all together of his own, and then he expressed that thought, Father, I don't think that they fully understood, because the disciples, the apostles, when the Spirit of God was poured upon them on the day of Pentecost, then they remembered what Jesus had said. And this is one of the things he said. Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Now when you stop to think, what a humble statement that is. He did not ask for anything more, did he, than what he had. He did that, Father, glorify me far above what I had. No. Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But we know because of his faithfulness, our Heavenly Father exalted him. Wherefore, God had highly exalted above what he was before. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And so, brethren, we can see now that the great purpose of God is for the completion of the church. And in the Psalms, it is spoken about Zion. Zion is sort of a favored word, meaning a fortress. That word Zion means a strong fortress, you see. And in the 48th Psalm, there is an expression about this Zion. Beautiful for situation. For that word situation should be elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. I, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And so this is what is far better that Paul had in mind. The end of the thing. The end of any life. Oh, what a drama is played during the gospel age. The call of the church, the bride of Christ, secretly. World knows nothing about it. And when that is completed, it'll be called the Zion, the city of God, the great fortress of God, which will then come down to bless all the families of the earth. What a wonderful arrangement. Surely, the Bible is not written by human imagination, but by the Spirit of God through the prophets and the apostles and all those who have turned their hearts to the Lord to emphasize the ways of God. Man's ways can never satisfy. They are terrible. And that's one of the things that will collapse this world, is because of man's ways, which is contrary to God's ways. It is not in man that liveth to direct his steps. And so this climax will be for the better, won't it? Oh, how everything synchronizes with the divine arrangement. It happens just right. The divine part. When man gets to the extremity of his ways, then it's God's opportunity to bring in the kingdom, righteousness, and the blessing promised to all the families of the earth. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a deep insight. Brethren, I marvel at his insight, but that is by the Spirit of God. To write Hebrews, I think he wrote Hebrews. Some say that it may be Apollos did. But somehow, who else could there be that was so enlightened as the Apostle Paul to write that masterpiece of Hebrews, which explained types and shadows of the Old Testament to bring out the truth? And so the Apostle Paul, realizing that it would be better to die with the Lord, but at the same time he realized he was needed for the church. And so I've often wondered about Paul in regard to this gospel age. Somehow I feel he knew that it would be a long time before Christ would come again. You know, the early church thought this, well, he's going to be taking over the reign and he's going to come right away with his kingdom. He's going to set up his kingdom. But I think Apostle Paul had a knowledge of that, because he says in 1 Corinthians 9:17, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. Now, if he didn't know, he wouldn't write that way, would he? A dispensation, the whole gospel is committed unto me. He was responsible to bring out the truth and to encourage and strengthen the Jewish brethren as well as the Gentile brethren down through the age. And so, brethren, here we are. The end. We're coming very rapidly to the end. And when the salt is taken out of the earth, the salt meaning the truly consecrated ones, and when that's let not your flight be in winter, nor neither the Sabbath. And so we can see that the end is coming. The end of all things in Revelation is at hand. And so we can rejoice, brethren, despite the sadness and sorrow that's surrounding. We know that there's a silver lining behind the dark clouds of this world, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, a better heaven and a better earth. Oh, not a literal one, but a new heaven. Oh, the Lord Jesus and the church, the new Jerusalem. There's an old Jerusalem. There's a new Jerusalem, which is coming down, and incidentally, coming down out of God from heaven. Thank the Lord that when the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, to some people, you quote that, well, what does that mean? But if we're familiar with the tabernacle, the Old Testament, that beautiful divine arrangement in which the children of Israel had to worship, that was something new. You know, they came out of Egypt. And here Moses was instructed to build this tabernacle. Right? And so we can see that that's a miniature picture of a greater tabernacle, the heavenly one, Jesus and the church, the true Zion, and come down to this earth in power and great glory. So, brethren, those whose names are written in heaven will be a great joy when they will be privileged to feed and nourish and encourage the world to uplift out of the greatest slavery that this world has ever known, out of sin and death. And so, brethren, continue to fight the good fight of faith, leaving everything in God's hand, for he careth for you.